Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Okay, here's what you need to know about Silvio Berlusconi. Some people like to say that in Italy, he's like Rupert Murdoch and Warren Buffett rolled into one. But that doesn't even do justice to the influence he has. In Italy, he's everywhere.
It was normal for Europeans to see indigenous people as a lower form of human species. Then you can trade in them, put them in your museums, and you can put them in your medical institutions as objects of study.
Growing up in the Lincoln Courts is where I lived at. Each family in that court had at least 3 to 6 kids. And we would play hide and go seek in the, up under the lights until our mothers told us to come in.
On the way, samples from these three podcasts, Bunga Bunga, Stuff the British Stole, and West End Stories. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. If you thought 4 years of a reality show president was the wildest it gets, wait till you hear this. From Wondery, it's a new docuseries, Bunga Bunga. The 8-episode podcast follows the insane tumult of Italy's Silvio Berlusconi's era. Berlusconi, a TV executive, real estate magnate, and former prime minister of Italy, is one of the most unusual, scandal-prone world leaders of recent times. The podcast, hosted by comedian Whitney Cummings, illuminates that, all without getting too depressing. For the incredible true story of charisma, connections, and the two words that took down Italy's top man, check out Bunga Bunga. Sample for you from the first episode of Bunga Bunga titled, I Know How to Make People Love Me. In the premiere episode, Whitney focuses in on the first incident in the snowballing scandal that eventually takes Silvio Berlusconi down.
Okay, people, we're going to Milan, Italy. Late on a Thursday night in May of 2010. It's a quiet night in the courtyard at number 11 Via Fata Bene Fratelli. This building used to be a palace, but today it's Milan's central police station, and this is business as usual. Until officers bring in a 17-year-old girl named Ruby.
You know, the Ruby scandal was such a strange one because you have this young girl who gets arrested for essentially, you know, stealing something from one of her roommates. And she tells the police, listen, I'm someone important.
Ruby has wide eyes and pouty lips. And let's be real, she doesn't look surprised to be here. This isn't her first brush with the cops. But a few hours after she arrives at the police station, something happens that will change everything. The phone rings. On the other end of the line,
Silvio Berlusconi.
Okay, here's what you need to know about Silvio Berlusconi. Some people like to say that in Italy, he's like Rupert Murdoch and Warren Buffett rolled into one. But that doesn't even do justice to the influence he has. In Italy, he's everywhere, and he owns everything. Oh, and I almost forgot. When Ruby walks into that police station, Berlusconi's also the prime minister. That's who calls about this random 17-year-old at a local precinct police station a little before midnight on a Thursday.
And so everybody raises an eyebrow. And sure enough, Berlusconi knew exactly who Ruby, quote-unquote, the heart stealer, was.
Ruby's stage name is Ruby Rubicori, Ruby the heart stealer. So what does the prime minister do when he hears Ruby the heart stealer's at the Milan police station? He tells the police that she's the Egyptian president's niece and he doesn't want an international incident. He tells the police to let her go. So they do. The end. Thanks for joining us, everyone. From Wondery, I'm Whitney Cummings, and this is... yeah, right, like, that's the end. That is not the end. Because obviously, this one little phone call raises a ton of questions. For one thing, Ruby is not related to the Egyptian president. That was a lie.
All of a sudden, you have someone as powerful as Berlusconi making a call, and this girl who's in jail for stealing out of her roommate's purse is sprung from jail. And that raised a lot of eyebrows. Like, who on earth is this girl? Where does she come from? How does she know Berlusconi?
And more importantly, what does she know?
A sample of Bunga Bunga from Wondery. Cleanse your palate of American politics with an unbelievable Italian spectacle of Bunga Bunga, available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Throughout its reign, the British Empire stole a lot of stuff. Today, those objects are housed in luxurious institutions across the UK and the world, usually presented with nothing more than a polite plaque. Enter Stuff the British Stole, a series about the not-so-polite history behind those objects. Each episode, award-winning journalist Mark Fennell picks one artifact and takes you on a wild, evocative, sometimes funny, often tragic adventure of how it got where it is today. Over a year in the making, Stuff the British Stole will take you from the streets of London to Nigeria to Kolkata, from the bushland of Cobargo all the way to Beijing. Each item will illuminate stories of politics, genocide, heroism, survival, and justice. Stuff the British Stole isn't a podcast about history. It's about making sense of the world we live in today. Here's a taste of Stuff the British Stole from the episode titled The Headhunters. The episode explores the grotesque trade of decapitated human heads of New Zealand's Maori people.
We believe that there are at least 600 heads now spread around the world. The US, the UK, medical institutions, private collections, and yes, museums. That's a lot of detective work for each and every one. Take, for example, that original head that was taken by Joseph Banks.
We do understand that the head was taken back to the United Kingdom, may have been at the Royal College of Surgeons in the United Kingdom for a long period of time. But during World War II, that particular institution was bombed by the Germans. And so I think a lot of the artifacts or a lot of the human remains were lost at that time. So our understanding is maybe the head disappeared with the bombings of London.
How hard is it to do? How hard is it to negotiate their return?
So I've been in my job for 13 years. I was going to say 13,000 years. No, 13 years. I've been in my job 13 years. When I first started in 2007, and I went on my first international repatriation, and it was in the United Kingdom, and I went to a medical institute, and the chair of that medical institute, his opening words to us was, "We are returning these ancestors because they are of no value to us." One of my work colleagues that came with us saw my eyes and just took me away for a little while till I calmed down, and then I came back. Saw that Māoriness in me rising and saw that I needed to actually go away for a little bit.
It's hard to imagine Te Herakiki Harawini overcome with anger. The man I'm talking to right now has the most incredibly calm diplomatic demeanour, even when talking about something that is macabre on a number of levels, really.
People are horrified that, you know, these items were traded. But then that's why I go back to the trade of living human beings between 1400 to 1800 over a 400-year period. That was 7 million people, Indigenous people, 7 million black people from Africa, and they were living human beings that were traded. So it was normal for Europeans to see Indigenous people as a lower form of human species, then you can trade in them, put them in your museums, and you can put them in your medical institutions as objects of study. It was natural for them to think that Indigenous people could be commodified and their remains be commodified as well.
A snippet of the podcast, Stuff the British Stole, from the Australian Broadcasting Channel. For a more complex and comprehensive history of the world's biggest empires, check out Stuff the British Stole, available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Just download the WVXU app and search at the bottom for Start Here. And now, on to our local Cincinnati podcast spotlight. In the last few years, the West End area has frequently been in the news for its rapid transformation and blossoming new businesses. But what about the history of the people that are the foundations of this neighborhood? For all your West End history questions, try out West End Stories, a new podcast with a twist on oral projects from Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library. West End Stories captures the stories of individuals who lived in the West End during the second half of the 20th century. For urbanites today who want to know more about the neighborhood's transformation, the West End has a rich and storied history, and now you can hear it firsthand with the help of West End Stories. Try out this sample from a recent episode featuring former security guard and realtor Tim Coleman. Tim, who was born the youngest of seven kids in the West End in 1948, joins the show to give us a glimpse into the West End life of days gone by.
When I thought my mother was home, then I'd go back home and sit out there on Lincoln Park Drive, which is now Evan Charles, and wait for her to get off the bus. And when she got off the bus, and I tell them that my brother and sister didn't do this for me, and they didn't do that for me, and what have you. And then she'd come in the house, she'd give them the tongue beating, so to speak. Why didn't y'all do this? Why didn't y'all do that? You know, if he wanted this and wanted that, you know, I thought I was supposed to have my way. As most young babies are the youngest child in the family, that's the way they all feel. Right now in the day, they still feel like that. You know, growing up in the Lincoln Courts is where I lived at. Each family in that court had at least 3 to 6 kids. And we would play hide and go seek in the, up under the lights until our mothers told us to come in. What we did for fun, these kids don't even know about. We used to have little places where we can play on the sides of the houses. So we would get a stick, whatever we can find that was strong, and we would draw a circle. And in that circle, we would each put 3 marbles in, or 4 marbles, and we would shoot marbles right there. There was a couple of stores down there we would go to, and we would craft what they say is cash in pop bottles. And we got like 2 or 3 cents for a pop bottle. And that we would round up pop bottles and take them down to the store, which was Wilson's grocery store. And he would give us $3 for each bottle we brought in. We would buy cookies and stuff like that. You know, that's how we, what we thought was fun to do.
From our local creators, that was West End Stories from the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Libraries. Hear the past, present, and maybe even the future of the West End on West End Stories. Available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Just go to WVXU.org and look for the podcast menu item for Start Here. It's Chart Time, our weekly look at the Apple Podcast charts to see what podcasts are new or up and coming around the nation via iTunescharts.net. In addition to the usual acknowledgement that we've repeated for the past month of Mommy Doonesday and the Apology Line stuck at number one, there's a new popularity to an older podcast this week. It's Morbid, a true crime podcast. And with 258 episodes, you can binge big time. Now, Morbid isn't the normal morbid true crime podcast. It's a lighthearted nightmare with weirdos, creepy history, and all things spooky. And this is the best part. It's hosted by an autopsy technician and a hairstylist. So it's a heavy dose of research with a dash of comedy thrown in for flavor. That's Morbid, back in the top 5 on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about Morbid and the other podcasts we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.